Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to train up the next generation to shine their light so others notice. Grant us the grace to instill in them such steadfastness of faith that they can face anything and remain faithful to the very end. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. The early church was growing. The numbers of disciples were increasing. And with more people, as you've probably experienced, the more people you gather together, you seem to get more problems too. The Grecian Jews were complaining against the Hebraic Jews because the Grecian Jews were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered together and they came to a decision. This was their decision. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Choose 7 who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Turn this responsibility over to them. And we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Hearing this decision of the 12, the whole group agreed, and we were introduced first to Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. We also meet Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Permanus, and Nicholas from Antioch. And Nicholas from Antioch was a convert to Judaism. And here in Acts, Stephen is described as a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Not everyone was pleased, though. Not everyone was pleased in Jerusalem with the growing numbers of followers of Jesus Christ. Opposition arose from various places, and in particular the synagogue of the freedmen. Even when you are doing God's work, and you're doing God's work in God's power, don't expect everything to be smooth sailing. Human nature as it is will cause problems. Evil is lurking like a lion to strike too. Arguments, disagreements, problems will come. So even when you're doing things in the power of God's Holy Spirit and doing it God's work in God's way, attaboys may not come, and instead attacks will come to destroy you. The synagogue of the freedmen was a Greek-speaking synagogue in Jerusalem. Freedmen is a word originally from the Latin libertinus, donating those who had been liberated from slavery. So back in 63 BC, Pompey the Great, he captured Jerusalem, and he took many Jewish people captive, bringing them back to Rome. Subsequently, years later, they were freed, and they remained living in Rome. But they took that name, Libertinos, and so that means freedman. And that designation would differentiate them and their children and their descendants for years to come. These were Greek-speaking Jews who were freed from slaves, and they established a synagogue in Jerusalem, Synagogue of the Freedmen, for a place for Greek-speaking Jewish people to gather, particularly those who were coming from Rome to visit Jerusalem. Now, at the time of Acts chapter 7, the membership of this synagogue could have been more than that roots of the freedmen back in Rome, to include other Greek-speaking Jews. They're also known as Hellenistic Jews. They traveled to Jerusalem from where they were scattered, because years earlier there was a diaspora, and the Jewish people were scattered. And so these Greek-speaking Jewish people would come to Jerusalem, and oftentimes they'd gather at the synagogue of the freedmen, where they would speak in Greek. Now, the opposition from these Jews, these Greek-speaking Jews, the Hellenistic Jews, leads many to consider that Stephen perhaps was a Hellenistic Jew who came to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And Stephen would argue with these Jews, and they could not stand up against Stephen's wisdom or the spirit that was in him that Stephen spoke. And since they could not answer Stephen's arguments, they sought to stop him by bringing false accusations, accusing Stephen of blasphemy. If you read the newspaper and the headlines and listen to the news, you will notice human nature has not changed. The false accusations are flying today. The news is filled with such phoniness. College students, instead of entering into debate with the conservative perspective, they riot. And they prevent the free discourse of opinion. They block the speakers. And it's all very one-sided, preventing those with conservative perspectives from speaking. Instead of engaging and answering the arguments, they name call and make false accusations against the speakers. Berkeley is a perfect example of that. You see, human nature hasn't changed. Instead of engaging in the argument or in the discussion, let's name call, let's riot, let's cause problems. So that's what Stephen encountered from the synagogue of the freemen. And so the synagogue of the freemen, they found false witnesses. And Stephen was dragged before the Sanhedrin. And Stephen answered the questions of the Sanhedrin by telling the history of the Hebrew people, beginning with Abraham being called by God. Stephen then gives a very concise, detailed history of Israel and their relationship with the God of Israel, the living God. Knowing even that his life was at stake, Stephen still spoke the truth, siding with Jesus Christ, willing to face the consequences no matter what they may be. God empowered Stephen to speak clearly that Israel failed to recognize their Messiah, Jesus. That those very people in the Sanhedrin rejected their Messiah. And how in the past the leaders of Israel murdered prophets and other faithful men throughout the years. It was an indictment against Israel and all their failures. Stephen in his speech constantly showed how Israel rebelled and turned to idolatry, even though being a part of the mighty moving of God's hand, even being eyewitnesses of God's great delivering power, Israel rebelled and turned to idolatry time and time again. So here Stephen is waving Israel's own history in front of the Sanhedrin. So much so till the Sanhedrin's eyes could take no more of it. Climaxing, Stephen, in recalling the history, then quotes from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you would build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And if that wasn't enough, Stephen really lays it into them. Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 53. You stiff-necked people, with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through the angels, but have not obeyed it. Oh, that set the Sanhedrin off. They raged, gnashing of teeth. The fury just unfolded. And in that moment, the veil between heaven and earth was open for Stephen. And Stephen says, "Look, I see heaven open. The Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And that was just too much. The Sanhedrin's rage took over. And that rage ran the proceedings, yelling at the top of their voices of his blasphemy. They dragged Stephen from the Sanhedrin into the streets. They continue to drag him all the way through the streets to outside the city, and they begin to throw stones. A young man, Saul, was there giving his approval as a witness, as the witnesses lay their clothes at Saul's feet. In the midst of the storm of stones flying at him, pummeling the life out of him, Stephen prays, "Lord, receive my spirit." And then falling to his knees, Stephen adds, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And then Stephen falls asleep to his earthly life. Then a great persecution breaks out against the church in Jerusalem. Godly men, they bury Stephen, but Saul begins to systematically destroy the church, going from house to house, dragging off men and women to prison. The believers scatter into Judea and Samaria and beyond. Not exactly what you expected to hear on Mother's Day, is it? Yet this is timely for us. The world around us is growing more and more hostile to the Christian faith. The news is full of accounts of Christians being persecuted for staying true to the faith that is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Raise up a Stephen to be bold witness, and yet have that heart of compassion that in the midst of great suffering can ask the Father, "Father, forgive them." Just like Jesus asked the Father, "Forgive them," as the nails were being driven deep into him. The reality of the faith we hold dear needs to make it into the next generation in a fashion that is deeper and stronger than our generation. The statistics are showing the faith is not being passed on. Attitudes towards absolute truth are falling to the whims of relative truth. What is declared sin in God's holy word is set aside as mores from bygone years. The clear distinction of good and evil are sacrificed at the altar of wants and desires, with the end justifies the means. The sacredness of life from conception to natural death is set aside, with quality of life being the measurement leading to decisions on who is fit to live. We need Stephens to speak the truth. Now, we don't know anything of Stephen's background. We don't know his age, nothing of his parents, whether he had siblings, was he married with wife, or did he have children. We know none of these things. His family is not what he's known for. Stephen is known for his faith. Faith, even faced with certain death. Bold, courageous faith flowing from the Spirit of God in his heart. That is the kind of hearts the followers of Jesus Christ need to grow in this time and in this place, in this culture. Faith that is bold and courageous. For we know our home is with Jesus Christ. He has gone to prepare a place for us. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. And Jesus will come and take us to that place He has prepared for us, so we can be where He is, with Him forever. Mothers, your prayers and influence are mighty powerful. Mothers, you can change the course. You can pray up a Stephen who is willing to stand firm in the faith. Ask in Jesus' name. Ask boldly in Jesus' name. Ask for the strength. Ask for the guidance. Ask for full of grace to do all that is needed to instill the faith in a child's heart. Don't compromise with the culture. Be determined the children in your sphere of influence will be different, that they will grow and know the truth and not muddle around in relative truth, such as that's your truth, this is my truth. Show them the truth of Jesus Christ, the absolute truth of righteousness and goodness. Mothers, though it may wear you out, bring the children to the weekly gathering of the body of Christ. Bring them to Sunday school too. Help them see the importance of that weekly commitment of gathering with brothers and sisters in Christ as the body of Christ, the church, to worship the living God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It was instilled in me. Though it took time and effort, my mom made sure I was at Sunday school. I was in worship. I was in youth group, vacation Bible school, confirmation, choir. And when I was older, I could get myself to church. For example, I'd ride my motorcycle to Saturday morning confirmation class. I didn't have to be told to go. I wanted to go. I wanted to be a part of Sunday school. I wanted to be a part of youth group because they had instilled in me from a young age, this is who you are. A follower of Jesus Christ. My dad was an instiller of these things too, but I place most of who I am at my mother's prayers. Excuse me. And the determination that I grow up in the faith. That's the power of a mother to influence a life. John chapter 14. Verses 12 through 14. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Mothers, ask in Jesus' name. To instill the faith in Jesus Christ, Son of God, crucified and risen Lord, in the children in your influence. And He will do it because you're asking a very good thing. To instill the faith in a child. Passing on the living faith. So that your child will have the courage to wear a t-shirt that says on the back, live your faith all day, every day. And on the front it says 24/7, 365. So that your child, when they're older, in that marketplace of ideas, will have the courage of Stephen to stand boldly for Jesus Christ. Mothers, pray to raise up as many Stephens in your family as possible. Amongst your children, your grandchildren, all the children in your sphere of influence, on down through the generations. Pray with passion. Pray with boldness. Pray with audacity. For it's a prayer that is good. And God will gladly answer that prayer in Jesus' name. You have God's word on that in John chapter 14. And pray for the courage to let your child suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, if that's what's coming in the future. As Mary was at the foot of the cross looking up at her son, great tragedy, what it looked like, but the greatest gift ever given. Jesus looked down at his mother and said, woman, behold your son. And John said, behold your mother. So Mary was cared for by John. Why is it we always want smooth sailing for our kids instead of a strong, powerful, faithful witness for Jesus Christ? That's what we're praying for. The strong, powerful, faithful witness for Jesus Christ. Mothers, your influence, your prayers of passion, your prayers from your heart. The prayers of those 9 months before and the prayers that continue to this day can change the culture and can change the direction of history. Instill in the children your faith in Jesus Christ. And then you will have a very blessed Mother's Day. Because you know you've given the child the very best. Not athletes, not things, not this, not that, but Jesus Christ, eternal life. You who are used to give physical life, be the one that leads them to eternal life. So that place that Jesus speaks about in John chapter 1, chapter 14, verse beginning of verse 1 through 4, is true for you and all of your family for all these generations to come. Mothers, may you be blessed with this power of prayer. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.